It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
A little misty leading in terms of our sting, but we'll roll with it. James Shaw was unable to join me in studio today. So Te Rōpū Kākāriki, Green Party MP Marama Davidson stepped in for helping me out today. And join me to talk about government's recent win, 600 new support roles in schools for students with special needs, which will be introduced by 2020. I started by asking her how long awaited this move was.
Oh my goodness, this is long overdue. This is a massive win, firstly for the children with additional and different learning needs. It's absolutely a win for the teachers who have had to struggle to try and provide for all of these extra needs without the extra support, and it takes them away from their prime focus on education. It's a win for the families as well. It's a win for all of us, as what we're really wanting here is an inclusive culture of teaching in every classroom, in every school, that says children all have different ways of learning and all children need to be valued and can see each other valuing the different learning needs in that situation and still feel included. So this is a massive one. It's long overdue. The parents have been incredibly desperate, and teachers, to try and sort this out for many, many years, and it is a confidence and supply agreement between the Green Party and the Labor Party to ensure that all children with special needs can participate fully in school life. So this goes a big way towards achieving that, and it's something that the Greens have been calling on for quite some time, and particularly need to acknowledge Catherine Delahunty, who led the inquiry into dyspraxia, dyslexia and autism in 2015, which resulted in a clear recommendation that we need extra learning support coordinators in our schools. So, you know, this is a big day. This is a big time for those desperate parents and children and teachers.
Absolutely. Prior to this, schools had to pay for the extra support out of their own budget, as you're aware, or this is kind of in addition to other things that need to come out of their budget, such as school facilities needing renovations or repairs and just to make those facilities safe. Yeah. So are these kinds of changes or issues within our school system indicative of the budgeting system for schools being flawed?
Yeah, well, actually, it's indicative of at least 9 years of no increase in operational funding for schools. And so I visited Berrinpore Primary School here in Wellington. What they've had to do is not upgrade their buildings so that they can actually wrap this extra needed support around their students. So they've prioritised these learning needs, but we're very clear that schools shouldn't have to prioritise and make those trade-offs. And so you're absolutely right. I guess it is a flaw in the funding, and that the operational funding hasn't seen any increase. Schools have had to lay off staff. Schools have had to make trade-offs in other areas of essential need to try and do the best they can with their limited operational funding. What we always call for as the Green Party was there needs to be centralised extra additional funding for children with extra learning needs, because we shouldn't have to, we're sending a bit of a poor message if we're saying, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to make do with what you can so that children with different learning needs can actually achieve their right to education. We're saying, no, this needs to be prioritised and it needs to have leadership from the government budget. So this is really good step. And it's a start. We expect this is the first tranche of these types of changes. We expect to see more. It's about just over half of the amount of extra learning, you know, coordinators that we have called for. So this is a good first start.
With that in mind, what do you think the next step is for improving the state of education in New Zealand?
Oh, well, it's been a bit... The harmful policy decisions that have been made, and there have been just far too many actually, over the entire term of the national government, the previous national government, have actually been incredibly harmful. I mean, I know of children who it's just been far too tough. It hasn't worked out. They have not been going to school. It's been too tough for the school, for the teachers and for the families. I know that so many parents and family members have had to lose their employment so that they can focus on trying to get their children in education or being home with their children to pick up that learning support role rather than having a paid employment. And that has been financially really difficult for far too many families. Currently, you have to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to even get an assessment to try and diagnose what learning difference your child has to even be able to get the support. You know, most families can't actually afford that hundreds of dollars. So there's a whole lot of stuff that we need to be continuing to look at. But I think one of the main things is also how do we actually get a culture of every child feeling like they are welcomed and included in their classroom, no matter what their learning differences are.
Absolutely. I'm going to jump on to a recent report that was found that under a quarter of board members in the private sector are women, actually. So I was wanting to get your thoughts on that.
That's not good enough. Clearly, we don't have a meritocracy, and that's around the world. There never has been a real system of appointing people achieving positions of leadership based on merit. That's not ever been the case. It's a privilege system, actually. We have a system of privilege. Opportunities are for different groups of people are different, and certainly between women and men. We know for a fact that the barriers, the challenges, the outright sexism, the blatant sexism that is happening has been a massive barrier to women getting ahead. So, and you know, that's something that I know my colleague, Minister for Women, Julian Genta, has been really loud on, and also for a long time our Green Party champions for women's rights, including Jan Logie, being very clear that we need to really have a meritocracy is going to require some sort of quota system. And, you know, the Green Party has had that for a long time. We've had that built into our structure and our infrastructure. We have female and male co-leaders, co-conveners at all of our party levels, right down to our branch levels. It's something that I think is really beneficial and something that we need to do a lot better at a government and board level.
And government specifically has promised women will make up half of the state sector boards and committees by 2021, which, I mean, that's great. And currently 45.7% of the public sector positions at the end of last year were women. But with New Zealand, 20 of the top 100 companies don't have a single female on it. Do you think there should be more regulation on the private sector?
I think again, it's clearly not a meritocracy. We know that the reason why mainly men are making it to these top positions is not because men are inherently far better for these jobs. And so I think that more and more companies and businesses are also realising that it makes for a better outputs, better outcomes, better business culture when we actually understand that we're going to have to go out of our way to make this a bit more representative. So many more companies are starting to realise that themselves. It's good that we've set the goal of having a fairer representation from a government level. We've set that goal. That's not going to happen by itself. You know, we actually, and that's why the strategies to actually see that happen are really important. And part of that will be guiding, regulating, assisting businesses and corporations and boards to realise what they're missing out on by not having fair representation.
Just jumping on to the last subject, which is donation reformation. So this whole controversy within the National Party has sparked a lot of rhetoric around bias. And I believe the bill about donation reformation was submitted by the Green Party, correct?
Yes, that's right. So, I mean, it's something we've been calling for many years, many years, right back to Russell Norman, but even previous to that. It really goes back to transparency and giving people the confidence that there is nothing going on in the back rooms that we don't know about, that there is an undue confluence. It's about getting big money out of politics. You know, we've been pretty upfront about that, or at the very least, that people know where big money is coming from and what sort of influence it's having. You know, and we continue to, and today I've been talking about, to media, I've been talking about how we also need a register for lobbyists so that people, again, so that the public can make up its own mind based on good information about who is lobbying who about what, you know, and this all goes to the core of a strong democratic system, a sort of a clean politics system that we can all be proud of, that we can all have confidence in, being open and transparent with donations, having a cut-off point. I've said that a cut-off point of anything over $1,000 should not be anonymous, and actually a maximum amount of $35,000 should be the upper limit of what any organisation or person can donate. So these are just some of the measures that we think would give the public more confidence in our democratic processes.
Paul Goldsmith was talking about donation reformation in regards to this bill and said he didn't believe the bill would get support from the public around the matter of increasing
state funding.
Yes.
And I mean, that's a conversation that we haven't had. So let's have the conversation actually with the public and let's have a look, because I think there is an appetite for New Zealanders to feel more confident in our political system, if that means having a little bit more rebalance around public funding of election campaigning. I think that actually that, you know, we're open to those ideas, and the people I've spoken with are more nervous about who's having undue politics than they are about increasing tax dollar spend on, you know, on donations. On campaigning. So, if he thinks he's got the backing, then let's have the conversation with the public and see how we go.
This statement that he brought up around taxpayer money, it comes up really frequently. So is the state funding going to be what's necessary in order for us to have unbiased political parties?
I think it will be part, not on its own, I think it will be part of having a democratic system that we can be proud of, is rebalancing. So as an indication, there was $4 million of public funding for broadcasting in the, you know, across all of the political parties in the previous election. $9 million in total is what was spent across all of the political parties in campaigning from fundraising. And so I'd just like to see us have a bit of a think and a discussion about rebalancing that a little bit more, and if it's going to be, you know, as part of a system, as part of a protection and having a clean democratic system. And that's why, alongside having an upper donation limit amount, having a much lower anonymous donation amount, outlawing, banning overseas donations, making sure that all donations are revealed in real time rather than way down the track when people's votes have already been cast. You know, those are the sorts of measures that we think would make a real difference to people's confidence.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.